Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Australian survivor.
Survivor New Zealand.
Survivor.
Survivor.
21 South Africans, 12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
20 Federal.
Swimmers.
£1 million.
Million euro.
Million shekel.
Aldi. Million rubli.
Try the spoon.
Scheibe trocken.
Schiff.
Try.
Hello everyone, Shannon Gassier getting you ready for our week 3 exit interviews. This is a complete spoiler zone, so if you haven't seen all of week 3, definitely check out now. But we do have interviews first with Abby, and then about 16 minutes in, you can skip through if you want, to Lydia. So those are the 2 interviews we have this week. I do have an interview with John scheduled for the weekend. He couldn't do any earlier from a work perspective, so I'm just probably going to put that one onto the week 4 exits before any of those and have them all go together. But I really, really loved my chat with both Abby and with Lydia. So I hope that you guys enjoy. And we have a lot of other stuff coming up. A recap with Baden is coming up as well for week 3. So a lot of great content. I hope that you guys check it out, and I will see you on the other side.
Hello.
Hi, Abby. So nice to chat to you.
How are you going?
Good, thank you. I'm sorry to see you go. I think you played a great game. I actually gave you my award for best player of the week last week. So, you know, Aww. You made an impact while you were there.
Oh, thank you. Yes, it's a little bit crazy. It was a plain and simple, blindside. So I had absolutely no idea it was coming from the conversations that I'd had. So, yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, so much to discuss because you had so much power in Makuta. So I want to ask, you know, you seem to adapt your gameplay quite significantly from your first season. Can you tell us a bit about that shift, especially going back to play again so quickly?
I don't necessarily feel that I played too much of a different game. I just feel like there were more kind of overarching moments in All Stars that, you know, really made me look like a bit of a dictator and stuff like that. You know, I guess my game plan the first time was to really be an asset to the tribe early in terms of your physical strength, because that's when, you know, winning those challenges really is pivotal. But as you know, in Survivor, the game changes so much and it does go in phases. So early days, it's all about, yes, winning the challenges and avoiding tribal council. But then when, you know, tribe swap and merge happens, it's a real different shift from the team game through to the individual game. So going back to All Stars, having played the first time and really just trying to be an asset, it was more so about me surrounding myself with the biggest physical and strategic threats in the game and trying to eliminate all of the social threats, because history tells us in, you know, Survivor that it is generally the social threats that are sitting there at the end. You know, they're the ones that really try and eliminate all of the physical and the strategic players before they get too deep in the game. Mm-hmm. It was my strategy just to try and have as many shields around me in terms of your strategy and your physical, you know, players. That was the way that I wanted to go about it, and it wasn't necessarily the way they made it out with me trying to get rid of Shawnee, because I hate this word, but they used it over and over the week. Mm-hmm. It was just because I could recognise that she's one of the best social social game players that we've seen. So that's my reason behind that.
Yeah, that seemed pretty clear to me, Abby. If people weren't seeing that you were actually complimenting Shawnee by targeting her, I think they probably weren't looking hard enough, but it was pretty clear to me.
Oh, exactly right. And I've just been slammed on everything about, you know, just saying it's not about physical strength. It's not about physical strength. And I'm like, I know. I'm actually going after her because of her social strength. So, yeah, it was, it is very frustrating when you can't give, you know, the Australian public and the audience the full picture of what you were trying to do. But that's why I've actually thoroughly enjoyed all of my elimination interviews, because you can actually talk through things that were happening and why you were doing things and when.
Yeah, I'm sorry that you've had that reaction. You know, no one deserves it. But again, like, the show's making a narrative and kind of probably shoehorning something.
Yeah. And that
people just take that and I think they run with it and to ugly degrees, which is terrible.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it has been really tough. I'm the biggest advocate for strong women. Like, the, you know, and not just strong as in physical. I'm talking, you know, girl bosses. I'm talking every single, you know, woman out there. And then just to be being called like a woman hater and some of the comments that I've been getting, it's just really quite deflating in that sense.
I'm so sorry to hear that. I mean, you're part of one of the most iconic female alliances in Survivor history. You know, like, anyone who doesn't see it, I think they probably have an agenda that they're trying to push rather than seeing the reality of what's happening. So
not even worth thinking
about, probably. So, you know, you had a lot of control in your first tribe. Who do you think would have gone home had you gone back to tribal council after the exile tribal council?
I was sitting in a really good position in Makuta. You know, I had an excellent alliance with some, yeah, fantastic people surrounding me. And once again, you didn't see too much of our alliance, but the core alliance from that Makuta group was, you know, Lydia, Sean, myself, John, Lee, and Nick was actually with us. So that was the six. But obviously the way that they're showing it is that, you know, Nick's purely with Harry and Shawnee.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, Harry and Shawnee were working with us, but they were kind of on the outer. And then obviously Shawnee became a target for the rest of us, kind of maybe day 8 or 9.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I reckon that if we were to come back after the exile vote, so do you mean if Shawnee or Zach went home?
Yeah, if they both went to exile and you had gone back to tribal council and not swapped, who do you think would have been voted out after that?
Not swapped. Let's have a... I can't even remember who.
So it was the five of you, the athletes, and then you think you still had Nick and Harry and that was it?
Oh, yeah, it would have been Harry, for sure.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. What was the relationship like with Harry? Because you just played with him, you come back, you're on a tribe with him. What was that like?
Yeah. Yeah, my relationship with Haz is great. But Harry is the kind of player that he doesn't actually play with you. In terms, like, he doesn't call shots. He waits for you to approach him with a move and he'll decide if he wants to go with it or he doesn't. So, you know, he will never orchestrate a move. So Harry's the type of player that you really want to keep at arm's length. So in terms of the group and the crew that I was working with in Makuta, if Shawnee and Zach had gone and potentially, you know, one of them come back or whatever might have been the result, Harry would have definitely been on the chopping board next.
Would, if, say, Zach comes back from exile, would Harry have been before a Zach, or would Zach have been more on the outs than Harry?
So basically with the Shawnee vote, so we went to tribal council and I had got Harry and Nick, you know, on board for the Shawnee vote. Yes, they didn't want to vote her. They wanted her to stay in the game for their game, but because we were working together, it was a case of give and take with us. So they gave me, Michelle. I gave them Henry.
Mm-hmm.
They gave me Shawnee. You know, so Harry and I'm not sure which way Nick voted on the split, but Harry voted Shawnee that night.
Yeah.
He went to exile. So, you know, there's so much that happens that isn't shown. I think that I would have loved for Zach to have come back into the game. I really, really thought that you know, I'm speaking my mind here, but I thought that exile was pointless. You know, I really wanted to see Zach and Shawnee battle it out together, to see one of them come back into the game and one of them be sent home. And I was really banking on the fact that hopefully Zach was going to come back, because I thoroughly enjoyed having him around. Once again, with my game plan of keeping the strategy and the physical players around, he was one that I wanted to keep. But in terms of that particular vote, you know, they gave me Shawnee, so we had to give them Zach as well. And that's when the two of them went to exile.
Yeah, you know, going back to the Henry vote, obviously it was a 5-5 split, and you've said that you, mm-hmm. you gave them Henry and you voted out Henry. If Shawnee hadn't played the idol and you had re-voted at the tie, do you think Shawnee would have gone home? Would you have flipped and taken her out, or do you think Henry might have gone home?
No, yeah, if it went to a re-vote, Henry was always going to go.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think we had definitely all discussed that. You know, we were comfortable with the split vote, so having, you know, a certain amount of votes on each player. But if it was to come down, you know, and we had to vote again, it definitely would have been Henry that still went. And that was, you know, my relationship with Mick and Harry and whatnot, that was just a show of faith, you know, that we could work together. As you said, it's such a game of compromise and give and take. So, you know, I was loving working with Mick in particular. So, yeah.
I love to hear that.
Yeah, no, he's so great.
I agree. So, you know, getting to the swap, you obviously get there, Shawnee's there, and you feel quite confident in, like, the Lockie group working with you. Why were you so confident that they would go with you?
They sold it so well to me. And, you know, Lockie, I had filmed a bit of, you know, the entry stuff with him, and just not that we were able to talk much or anything, but just got a really good vibe off him as somebody that I would love to have worked with. So, yeah, when we landed on the Vakama tribe, I knew straight away that we were in a little bit of trouble. I was trying to hide it because Lydia was freaking out a lot. But, yeah, I knew that, you know, when you looked at the five of them, so there was Matt, AK, Lockie, Brooke and Flick versus us, which was, yeah, Harry, John, Shawnee, Lydia and myself, who were very fractured. We've obviously just voted Shawnee off to exile, so we mm-hmm. knew that we were never going to repair that relationship. Yeah, so it was just really hard landing on that Vakama tribe, knowing that you had to, you know, really work hard to make something happen.
Yeah.
But I thought that for Lockie's game, for him personally, he would have had the same game plan as me. And, you know, from all the discussions we had, it was very similar. But, you know, he's a strategic threat. You know, he needs those, you know, a physical threat, I should have said. He needs those other people as shields for him as well. So I thought that I had really sold that to him, and he made me believe that he was 100% on board. So, it's just so funny watching last night's episode, knowing the conversations that you'd had and then seeing the conversations that went on behind your back.
Yeah, I mean, you were pretty hard done by the swap and obviously the twist and Shawnee coming back. So do you look back at it like you see anywhere that you went wrong, or do you feel like it's pretty much like a victim of circumstance?
Oh, yeah. I feel, once again, there's so much luck that goes into the game of Survivor. If I had drawn a green buff out of that bag of Jonathan's, great. Like, happy days. I would have still been with, you know, a lot of my my alliance members, and things probably would have been hunky-dory over at the green machine. But I drew a Vakama buff. I, you know, landed on that beach with Lockie and his posse. And then, you know, having Shawnee waltz back into the game in my tribe, I knew from that second that I was pretty much screwed. So it certainly is just a, you know, I guess a situation and the circumstances that kind of, yeah, messed up my game.
Yeah. I mean, you had a rare experience of going back to play again so soon. So physically, mentally, what was it like going back so soon to play again?
It was, without a doubt, the hardest thing that I've ever done in my life. So, you know, you have that 46-day experience of, yes, you know, on one, it was the greatest thing I've ever done. But, yeah, having 6 weeks in between and then backing it up and going again, mentally for me, it was far too soon. You know, I actually had a conversation with my partner on the Sunday night, which was our last phone call before entering the game on the Monday. And, you know, I remember it so well because I was just crying and I just said, I can't do this. Like, what am I doing? I don't want to be here. You know, and that for him was really hard as well, because that was the last kind of, you know, point of contact he had with me before I went in the game. And he just thought that I would land on the beach day one and be fine. I just needed to get there and then I would be sweet. But I really wasn't. Like, I just kept finding myself going, because you've played before, I just kept going, oh, gosh, it's only day 10. It's only day 11. It's only day 12. And I just couldn't stop crying, to be honest. So, you know, I do... Whilst I'm disappointed to get voted out at day 16, like, you know, I personally, I really did expect to go a bit further, but I also look at it as a bit of a blessing in disguise, just purely in the way that I was feeling when I was out there, because it was too quick of a turnaround for me personally.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine only a few players in history have had that short a turnaround after playing, especially as many days as you did. Like, that is some heavy stuff. On the other side, was there anyone that you didn't get a chance to work with that you were really looking forward to working with?
Yes, my boy Dave.
I mean, I'd be worried for you if I was Dave with his revenge vendettas.
No, and that's the thing. Like, Dave actually came around to my place last night and watched my elimination episode with me, which is so nice to have him there just as a bit of a sounding board. But Dave and I, like, we've got such a good relationship. He's like one of my brothers, you know, well, not that I have a brother, but, you know, he is like a brother to me. And, you know, I really do think that if we got the opportunity to get together out there and play again in All Stars, that we would have created some, we would have done some damage, which would have been fun. But probably just Dave, I reckon. He's such a huge player, and I'm loving watching his game in All Stars.
Yeah, well, you know, with a little bit more time now, like, if you had the opportunity, would you play again?
If I had the opportunity to play again, I would do it in a heartbeat. You know, I look at two seasons in a year and I probably think that's a little bit too much. As I said, I struggled, but give me a year or two break and I'll be sweet to go again. But I am, I'm secretly holding out, you know, for Australia versus America or something like that. I would love, 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 love to play, along those lines. That would be sick.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for chatting, Abby. Honestly, I respect you going out there again so quickly. I respect your game so much. Like, if anyone doesn't see it, and it's even worth sending you hate or attacking you in any way, like, honestly, F the haters. Like, your game was great, and just don't even listen to the noise.
No, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Abby. Bye.
No worries. Bye.
Hello.
Hey, Lydia, thank you so much for coming on to Rob Has a Podcast. You know, massive, massive night last night with the vote and fire making. I'm so sorry to see you go out that way.
Oh, goodness. I know. It was horrendous. Yes.
At least it was iconic.
Yes. Memorable.
You won't forget that one.
No.
You know, I'm just looking at your season. I feel like there was a lot made of your past season as well. So just kind of going back to the beginning, can you talk to us a bit about your relationship with Shane coming in for the first vote?
Shane, I haven't had much of a relationship with Shane. We're very different people. We're on completely different wavelengths. And it didn't really take much to kind of get people looking at her as being the first vote. There was, you know, just suggestions really of like, and not so much, you know, her age or anything like that, but, you know, just the fact that, hey, she doesn't like rice, salt in her rice, and she's constantly looking for idols, and, you know, she's just, you know, everyone had eyes on her. She's already won the game. She didn't need to win twice. So it really didn't take much. You didn't even have to twist anyone's arm to get the majority on voting for Shane first.
Yeah, from the show's perspective, it was a lot of, like, revenge. From your perspective, was that really a part of it, or was it more just, like, a very easy first vote?
It was a very easy first vote. It wasn't even so much revenge. You know, I just wanted to work with people that know I can work with, and she wasn't one of them. So it was just, pretty easy, simple decision in the end. That also kind of felt good. You know, she did insert my blind side.
Yeah, two birds.
My season, so it was like, back at ya.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, talking about, like, to move that to Matt, and we saw kind of how you guys didn't work together, but you have worked with Matt in the past, you know, pre-blindside in the last season quite heavily. So what was that relationship like coming onto the swap?
Oh, that was tough because I haven't really, we kind of live in different states. We haven't really had the opportunity to just kind of hash it out ever, you know, it was just done afterwards. And, so I was a bit worried about that actually, because I know that people would be playing that kind of rivalry between us on the outside as well. And I actually wasn't coming after him. I would love to have got him out at some point in the game, but I realised I was in a very precarious position after the swap. And so I went to him and I said, look, I could tell you're not having a great time here. Like, he was miserable. He, you know, hated his life on that Vakama beach. And he didn't really like the alliance that he was up against. So that was really obvious. And I said, look, we've worked together before. I've got no beef on you. Like, I'm not coming after you. You know, you've got, I mean, if anyone, it would be, you know, he's obviously, I was always loyal to him, you know. He was the one that broke the alliance. So I kind of pleaded to him that way, saying maybe we should just stick together here and vote off some of these guys that you really don't like and start working together. They won't anticipate it. We can play our riff, but maybe that would be a better solution. And I was dead serious about that because I was struggling to kind of make headway into that Vakama clique. Shawnee, we just voted out, and, you know, Harry flipped straight away with Shawnee and was targeting me and Abby. So it was a sticky situation. And in the end, Matt, you know, obviously just went where the numbers were going, and then that just set our spiral, you know, downwards, pretty much out of control. There's not much we could really do there.
Yeah, were your conversations with him mostly like pre the Abby vote or after it?
It was before the Abby vote, yeah, because Lockie came up to me and said, Matt's after you, and I knew what he was doing. They've been playing that kind of riff between us, so I went to Matt straight away. I said, look, I'm not coming after you. I'm going after Shawnee tonight. Shawnee, we just voted out. I don't want to work with her anymore. Like, I don't want to work with her. It's she's the one that we want out, you know, and she just waltzed, you know, basically back into the game. She's such a huge social threat. I targeted her from the get-go, you know, and I wanted her out of the game because she's such a social threat and a huge threat to a player like me. So that was the truth. And he kind of just said, oh, yeah, well, we'll call the dogs off then. And, you know, I don't think he was just sticking on it, like sitting on his idol. He had security in that. He was not going to, you know, play it on me, obviously, and try and make a move. He just wanted to, I think everyone at that point wanted to survive until merge, which was still a way off, you know, really long way off. So, yeah, it was frustrating. It was like being in a schoolyard again. And not really having anyone to play with. And we had some confidence that, you know, people were going to vote Shawnee that night, but Harry and Shawnee had flipped it. They'd kind of got in with more social players like AK and Flick and Brookie and made that decision that they were going to split the vote between me and Abby. And it was supposed to be me, and I knew it. But in the end, AK and Brooke changed their votes. They wanted to keep me in, and Abby went home.
What was their reasoning then for changing it?
They wanted to work with me. They wanted to find a way that could happen. But it just, at the same time, they wanted to toe the same line and vote with the same people that they'd been voting with.
Yeah. You know, Abby came on the X interview yesterday and in her final words said she was fully blindsided. At that first vote where Abby went home, did you have much faith that the Lockie Brooke contingent was going to come with you, or did you feel like you were kind of getting got at that point?
Well, at that point, it was my only option. You know, I had to appeal to them, and the best way for me to appeal to them, like I obviously appealed to Matt as well, but he didn't have the numbers behind him. So I said to him, let's make a move. Let's try and get Harry and Shawnee on board, whoever we can get on board. Obviously, Johnny was voting with me, and break up Lockie and Brooke. That would have been good because they'd formed a very strong power couple by that stage, and it was obvious, you know. So that was one option. He didn't really want to make a move. He said to me, well, if you've got an idol, then I'd be willing to make a move, but if you don't, then I can't. I'm like, okay, well, that's fair enough. You know, I probably would do the same if I was in the same position. So the next step was at least to then pressure Lockie and Brooke and AK in particular to flush out Matt's idol. At least put some split some votes onto him, flush the idol out, whether he played it or not. I'd still be the sacrificial lamb, and at the same time they'd flush an idol. But they weren't really into that either, which I don't understand. I don't really understand why they would just split it on John and I and not try and flush an idol out. That just blows my mind. Especially, I set it up perfectly. I was running around. I was saying, well, it's me. And it was blatantly obvious, running around looking for idols, and it was perfectly set up for them to blindside Matt that night.
At that point, was your relationship with them maybe a bit fractured, with them having voted against what you thought you were voting with them at the Abbey vote, and they didn't vote with you? So was there a bit of a disconnection there, or you feel like you could have worked together quite seamlessly moving forward if they'd been up for it?
Yeah, totally. I think I could have. It was... I think they were considering it. I just don't know why they didn't in the end. That's something that I'll have to ask them. But because it wasn't a risk to them, if anything, it just exposed Matt, which is what they wanted anyway. So I don't really know why they didn't go for that option, which was just to split the votes on me and Matt instead of me and John. I don't know. That just makes sense to me.
Was there anyone from that group that you got on with particularly well, having gotten to the beach and were really working with in particular? We saw you kind of appealing a bit to the AK of it all.
Yeah, AK I really got along with, and he's definitely someone that I could have worked with. I developed a really good relationship with Nick over in Makuta, and mm-hmm. So I knew that was my way through to AK. I said to AK when I first got onto the beach, if you're a friend of Nick, then you're a friend of mine. He's mm-hmm. awesome, really pumping him up. And, AK and I got along really, really well. He was kind of their number cruncher in that alliance. And obviously he changed his vote on that first night and opted to go for Abby rather than me. And I had that big discussion about that. And him and Brooke kind of came up to me after the Abby vote and said that that's what they had done. Everyone was targeting me. But they flipped their vote to Abby. So he was someone that I definitely could have worked with. But I also know he wanted to play with the likes of Harry, which at that point in time, that damage had been done. Mm-hmm. Harry was just really invested in Shawnee. The other story is that before the swap, we had made an alliance and it kind of never got shown, but Harry came to me with a proposal, or Harry and Nick did, and Shawnee, to join their alliance. And that was Harry, Nick, Shawnee, Sean, and myself.
Mm-hmm.
So a five-person alliance with people kind of there on the fringe of that. And it didn't really suit me. I thought about it, and I'm like, no way, man, I'm so exposed here being the only kind of physical kind of player. They're all social strategic. I'd be the first one that they would throw under the bus if we got later in the game. And I wanted a more balanced alliance. I didn't want an obvious alliance. I didn't want a strength-based alliance or an athlete-based alliance or anything stupid like that. I wanted to work with people I felt like I could work with. And so I offered them a compromise. And the compromise was that they sacrifice Shawnee and I'll sacrifice Abby. And bring in Lee. So it would be me, Lee, Sean, who I could definitely trust, and then it would be Harry and Nick as well, who Nick I could trust as well. Harry I was never really sure about. And so everyone agreed, and they voted Shawnee, and she went to exile. and then the next day it was the swap.
Mm-hmm.
So we got back then into Vakama. Shawnee's waltzed in. Harry flipped at that point and aligned, with whoever they could, just not us, which would have made more sense because we would have had Matt on our side if we just kept Makuta and Matt,
mm-hmm.
and he would have gone for that. But, so I appealed to both sides. It was just a bit – it was an awkward situation. I could have really worked with AK. I really liked Brooke, but she was controlled by Lockie.
Mm. Yeah, it's really hard to work with people when you've had to vote them out and they come back in the game. Like that's an awkward thing. So
it breaks trust. It doesn't work, And she's she got right in there, amazing social player, you know, and we're all working it. We're all trying to get into the majority, and her and Harry managed to.
Talk us through that epic fire-making moment, something we've never seen before. Obviously, you know, you get voted out, which is traumatic enough, you know, in and of itself,
yeah,
and then have to go make fire. So, like, what's running through your head at that time?
I was actually pretty calm. I'm not opposed to making fire. I've made fire with a flint before. I probably didn't practice heaps coming into All Stars, to be honest. I did the previous season, and it wasn't a problem. And it was just a really strange thing. I set up everything okay. I felt all right. Obviously nervous as hell having two tribes there all gawking at you. And I got the first ember, and it just didn't take off, and I stuffed up, and I know exactly what I did wrong now. Like, I built my TP, everything was fine, but I should have not put the ember lit inside my TP. I should have lit some husk on the outside of the TP so I could pick it up then and blow it and nurture it and make the flame. So I kind of stuffed up. And then I just started panicking, looking at Phoebe. She was getting close, and then by that stage, I broke my flint. I cut my finger doing dumb things. You know, it wasn't a good night. And then a lot of people that voted for Phoebe then were trying to cover their asses. So they were throwing a lot of help towards Phoebe, and I was getting like nothing.
Mm.
And that also affected me too, you know, and I kind of just let them in, and, you know, we got Lockie in the background saying she's losing it. Spiraled out of control. And I've never felt so gutted and under pressure, and it's just a horrible situation to be in. Obviously felt like a bit of a loser.
You're an Olympic champion, you know, and it's, you know, fire can be on anyone's day, so it's a tough
one. it was weird because it was something I wasn't particularly worried about, and then it was my undoing. So got out, and far out, I couldn't sleep. I was just like fire all the time, and just going through it, you know, in my head, and got home, and just went upstairs. I couldn't sleep, and it was the middle of the night, and I got my flint out. And I grabbed some, I had some coconut twine, so I just kind of unraveled it, scrunched it all up, got some twigs from outside. I mean, we have two fireplaces. That's our only source of heating. Like fire, you know, I'm good with fire. And the flint is obviously a little bit different. But, yeah, got my flint out, and I thought, bugger it, I've got to do this, otherwise I'm going to go crazy. So sat out there within, no shit, 5 minutes, the fire was there. So it was just like, it was just one of those things, you know. It just didn't work on the night. Everything was just felt like it was all against me. And I'd come up, I guess, you know, you go in and, like, at that point I'd had 7 straight losses, and in my first season, like, I was in a great alliance and we won everything, and gosh, that makes a difference to your mood, obviously. You know, if you have 7 continuous losses, you are always under pressure to play really hard. There is no night off to just nurture some relationships or, you know, it's just all heavy game. And so, that just probably wore me down as well, you know, like just that constant loss and just, going to tribal council was brutal.
Yeah, for sure. And by the time you're making fire, you know, you've lost Abby, you've been on the wrong side of a swap. Like, that's a lot of, you know, that's a mental load as well. So,
Yeah, and before that it was perfect. Like, I was sitting in a really, really good position. Like, I went in not wanting to be an obvious physical threat, so I really downplayed the physical side of myself. I was helpful, but not. I didn't want to stand out. I didn't want to be a hero. You know, I'd let Abby do that because she's got white line fever and she loves it. You know, and that was strategy. Like, I did that on purpose to just kind of just stick in the middle, and I really upped that social side of my game. You know, of really making. You know, really sensible kind of propositions and compromises and things like that that people bought into, and they did.
Yeah. Really tough, you know, don't blame the fire as much as, you know, a bad swap and stuff, because that's just unfortunate and that's just the luck of Survivor.
Yeah, and luck comes into it at some point.
Yeah, definitely. Just last question before you have to go. Would you play the game again?
I don't know. You know, last time round, I said yes straight away because there was just so much like unfinished business. And this time around, I'm like, oh man, I don't know. I would want to have the experience again. I would want to play the game, but not for the TV side of things. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like just as an experience. Like if someone was running, like, hey, once a year Survivor tour, come and play, I'd be there in a heartbeat. But not the TV side of things. I just don't want to be a reality star. I love my life. I just love the experience of Survivor. I love the game for exactly what it is, and that is everything. It's the social, it's the strategy, it's the physical, man. It is so physical. It's full on, and I really love it. I love the challenges. So, yeah, for the experience, you know, there's nothing beats it.
Well, Lydia, they do these like fan-made Survivors, Melbourne Survivor. It's not on TV. Go for a weekend, freak some fans out by being there, compete in that. Maybe that'll kind of like get you your Survivor fix. But
that would be amazing.
Yeah, no phones, honestly, though. Do it. They'd be thrilled to have you, I'm sure. But
I want to be on a deserted island. I want a proper experience.
Yeah, this is like in a park. It's probably not what you're envisioning.
Rice and beans.
Yeah. Probably not hardcore enough. But thank you so much for coming onto the podcast. I'm sorry that it worked out that way. But, you know, well done for everything that you did on the season.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much. Bye.
Bye.
There you have it, everyone. Abby and Lydia, as I said, we will be getting John, but I didn't want to have to delay the whole exit interview podcast for the week. So I'm just going to put that with week 4 and we will hear from John then. So looking forward to that as well. But I really enjoyed both of these chats, especially with Abby, who I think has really just been, you know, much maligned on social media, probably more than she needed to be. So I really like getting her perspective and Lydia's as well. But yeah, all the content's coming out, you know, Baden on the recap this week, that should hopefully be up soon. No Survivor Global this week, not doing it for week 2, but should be back with a special guest for week 3, which I guess I can announce. It will be Mike from the latest season of Survivor South Africa. So I'm really, really excited to chat about that with him. Subscribe to the International Survivor Wrap-Ups feed for all of that content. The Reality TV Wrap-Ups feed has all of that and a bunch of other Survivor content and other Reality TV content that is going on. So subscribe to all of that. Tell your friends, leave us a review, leave us a rating, anything that will help, engage on social media, anything that will get the word out. We really appreciate it and we really appreciate you listening. So thanks to you guys and I will see you on the recap. Bye.
Australian Survivor.
Survivor New Zealand.
Survivor.
Survivor.
21 South Africans. 12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
Vincent Middle.
Give them the swimmer.
£1 million.
Million euro.
Million
shkeli. Aldi. Million rubli.
Try to spoke. Try to spoke.
Shy with top there.
Shit.
Try.
Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team, led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.